Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 152 of the Milk Bar. Jason Zoe here with you as ever. How are you today?
Very good, thank you, Jason. And how are you?
I'm all right. Busy week last week over in Germany.
Oh, yes, of course.
That was quite an experience. There was lots of interesting food, as people have noticed on my Twitter feed and Facebook account.
I do look forward to the pictures of your meals. It's quite amusing.
Yeah, it's like a calorie-controlled diet if you don't actually have to eat it. As well, if you do, it's probably not very good for you at all, but
no,
there we go.
As I say, I've been to London this weekend, Jason.
Ooh, is this
Loved it.
What was it for this time? Was it, we've had your birthday. Was there something else, a special occasion?
Oh, no, I bought some tickets for Michael for Christmas, so it was just that. So I benefited from it as well.
Brilliant. That's the best way of doing it. Presents you can share. What did you go and see?
We went to the... it's on my hand. Hang on.
You've written it down on your hand,
no,
so you didn't forget.
No, it was a stamp, so I could go in and out, and it hasn't quite come off yet.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, it's gone totally out of my mind.
What sort of thing
Grand
was it?
Grand Designs Live, that
oh,
was it.
Oh, okay, so it was a bit of a show.
Yes, it was lovely. I got some lovely garden stuff.
And some great ideas.
Saw some nice saunas that I wouldn't mind having.
Okay. We shall see what happens with that. Oh, you want a whirlpool?
I'd love one of those for the back garden.
Right, yeah, okay. Maybe in your dreams, when you win the lottery.
Well,
all right.
Actually, they're not that bad. They're quite reasonably priced.
Glad to hear it. We'll be interviewing somebody on that next week, I'm guessing. But there we go. Coming up this week, what have we got on the way, first of all? We'll be talking charities a little bit later on with Andy Reeves telling us about a charity football match in aid of Birmingham Children's Hospital and Martin Richards, who's doing something very special for the charity Balls to Cancer. But I haven't told you what
haven't. I imagine it's something rude.
It's not very. We'll find out about that a bit later on.
And then we have music from Neil Coyne.
First of all, though, we go to the phones where we find Norman Lovett, part of It's All About Tea. I'm a little bit confused and hope to find out more. Norman, hello, sir.
Hello there.
Now, the background. It's All About Tea. Sounds like it could be something from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because we spoke with Dirk Maggs a couple of weeks ago, but it's not. You're formerly Red Dwarf, and it involves yourself and Chris Difford from Squeeze.
Yeah, well, I'm, the Red Dwarf thing is... you know, become the thing I've got been known for. But I mean, what I've been doing all my life for 34 years, well, not all my life, I didn't start till I was in my 30s, this showbiz lark.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing stand-up comedy, you know, that's what I am, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Dwarf thing, you know, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm really proud of what I've done in Red Dwarf. Don't get me wrong, but that's what I'm known as. I'm a sci-fi cult.
Oh, that's one of the nicest ways of putting it. But the problem you must have is, and I'm of exactly the right age to basically worship at the temple that is Red Dwarf and you being Holly, is I'm a 40-year-old bloke, and so I was going through my teens, and it was just fantastic comedy.
Yeah, I bet a load of blokes like you. Someone said, you helped me through my teens, as if they were having a hard time, and perhaps they watched Red Dwarf and it made them happy. I mean, I've got to say that I can understand why people get excited, because I'm excited myself, even though I'm 65, I'm still 25 inside. The Big Bang Theory, for me, it makes me very bloody happy. I think it's brilliant. I think it's so good.
I do like that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can understand why people get excited about things.
As I say, it's one of those TV programmes that a lot of people do follow, and they'll watch the reruns over and over again, because you'd never get tired of them, do you?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's the test of music or anything, isn't it? It's time, isn't it? If it still stands up after... It's 25 years next year.
Really? Gosh.
That is frightening. But I mean, particularly because, it was my youth. I was going through school. Then I went to university, and I went to the University of Liverpool, and we used to go and do karaoke in the Egbeth Arms. And of course, that's where Dave Lister was found under a pool table, which we were disappointed to discover didn't exist. So it's got that little bit of a resonance, more so for me, I think. Even though
I'm glad I wasn't
sad.
There. The karaoke, oh my God.
Seven songs one night, one week.
Oh my God.
Truly
a load of
awful.
Students
yeah.
getting drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, good goodness me, I can think of nothing worse.
We had a great time. Now, we've barely touched on what It's All About Tea is all about. So we'd better go to that. Really.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We've done our first show now, and. I think, you know, there are a few people struggling to put their heads around it, saying, what's that about, you know? But I don't know. It's working very well. Me and Chris have known each other a long time. He's a very, you know, he's a very funny sort of droll man himself, and you know, we go back a long time. And the things once, basically, this is how it worked. I'll go on and do. Well, I think I went on, I did about 35 minutes to start the show. Then Chris came on with Dori Jackson. She's a young singer. She's got a lovely voice, and she accompanies him on, you know, many of the songs. Well, all of the songs, and they're really, really good. I'm glad she's with us as well. It, you know, it's nice to have a woman, isn't it, in a show, not all, it's all, instead of all blokes and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. It's really nice. It makes it, you know, I'm really pleased about that. And then I came on in the second half and I did this Is Your Life thing. I come on with a red book. Mm-hmm. And we just bantered, basically. We're making it up as we go along, and it worked out very funny. And then in one of the songs, I come on halfway through, I won't say which song it is, I come on halfway through and I do this routine, well, Chris just chugs along gently on his guitar in the background, you know, and then I come off, and then he finishes the song off. It's really nice, you know. So we'll do a few things like that. And of course, then there's the screen of all the film footage and stuff, and I'm going to be involved in some of that. That'll be popping up as well. So, you know, it's a nice show. It's really nice, but people find it hard to get their heads around it. Well, some people have.
Well, you've done one event so far, and it doesn't sound like you've got completely the whole show sort of worked out. It seems to evolve as you go along through each night, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, you've got those songs. Those songs, you just don't realise how many great songs that he wrote, that Squeeze did. There's lovely, you end up humming them all night, and you know, the next morning you just think, oh my god, they wrote so many great songs. So you've got all the songs, you've got my stand-up comedy, and that's before we chuck in the extras of the interaction between us both, and that's going to build and build, and I'm sure it's going to be different every night. So you know, that's, you know, I like spontaneous stuff. That's what it's about. There's nothing worse than something that's been worked out and you know, it isn't, you know, decided. I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
No, I'm saying
if it works well, like that routine, yeah. I do in the middle, yeah, of one of the songs, that's a stayer, that stays in, because it was so solid, it was good.
It does get a bit stilted sometimes, doesn't it, if you've got it scripted or you know, you memorise things.
Yeah, I'm terrible like that anyway. I mean, but I don't know, it should pour out of you. If you have funniness within you, it should always pour out, you know, stuff always comes out. Yeah. It's like a good ad lib, you know, you just think, oh, I must remember that ad lib. No, don't remember it, because it'll never be as funny as when it first pops out. Yeah. You just come out with more and keep coming out with more and more, you know.
How did it all come about? How did you both get together and set it all up?
Well, Chris rang me in, I hadn't seen him for about 2 years, and he rang me in January, said, do you want to come and open for us at the Half Moon at Putney, which is quite a well-known, famous sort of music place, really. I think The Who and all those sort of people have played there. And I said, yeah, why not? It's freezing cold. It's a Sunday night.
Nothing bad to do, nothing on telly.
I went along, and it was 250 all standing in there, packed out. And I, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, they don't want comedy, they just want squeeze hits and stuff. But I went on, and they were a lovely audience, they were really good, and they laughed at all my stuff. And I do stuff about music, because I do love music, and I do love female vocalists, especially, and I do a joke about Shakira and the Sugar Babes and all that sort of stuff, you know. So I do, you know, I think that links in quite well. You know, my attitude and how I am, you know.
But do people still expect you to turn up and be Holly, though, during some of these things? I know I'm harking back to it.
Well, I don't do that. I mean, if someone pops up with it, sometimes I'll talk about it. I mean, I've got into trouble with some of the fans because I've said things like, oh, yeah, I was in it when it was funny. And, and you know, I am a comedian, and I don't, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek as well, because I know it's been a very successful cult comedy series. But all I'm saying is, in the first two series that I was in before I left, it was a sitcom in space, and it really was good. I thought that the writing was fantastic, you know.
Mm. Do you still see the other actors that you were with?
No, I haven't seen. I saw Danny and Chris recently. I haven't seen Craig for years. Chloe, I haven't seen. Robert, I haven't seen him. Danny and Chris were the latest about a year or so ago. But yeah, I'm sure some people think we all live together. Or...
But you must still do the occasional convention, because that's got to be good money.
Yeah, well, it's like a pension, isn't it? Even though I get a pension now. I try to do no more than about two or three a year. Otherwise, I don't think that's right, because, you know, it can be a bit too much. I find it just, you know, a bit too much. But two or three I can do. Because, you know, it's the same questions all the time. And But, you know, I've always got time for the fans, even if they stop me on the tube or something like that. Someone says, you're in Red Bull, you're Holly. And I think, I've always got time. I'll never ever rude to them at all. You know, unless they're rude to me, then I can be rude.
I can imagine you've got a tongue on you when it necessary.
I'm a Scorpio and I'm half Italian. Work it out yourself. But no. I mean, I've got time for it. I think it's important to talk to people, irrespective of who they are. The lady on the till at the checkout at the supermarket, I always chat into them and having the laugh, and that's great. I think that's important. You know, you're not, you know, you should be able to talk to everybody, shouldn't you?
The tour itself, though, gives you a chance to do that. I'm sure there's autograph signing sessions at the end for both you and for
Christopher
as well.
Well, there wasn't the other night, because I got the train back to Waterloo. I did sign some posters while I was there, but normally you do, if you're staying over or you're staying at a hotel, you know, and you stay over at the end of a gig, you have photos and sign for people. Yeah, you do all that. That's great.
And is the tour, do you think, going to push you back into focus a little more? Obviously, you're doing a lot of stand-up around about...
Don't you dare say, there was a bloke said to me once, he said, you've been under the radar a bit. And I said, well, it's better than being under a bus, isn't it? You know? And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, I admit no one, you know, I'm not on the TV, I'm not on this or that. But believe you me, I'm quite happy. As long as I can chip away and I get jobs and can perform... I'm happy. I really am. Yeah. I have no ambitions to, just say, oh, I must get my face in this or that. I'm really not bothered. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was when I started, though, when I was 32 and I was a stand-up, and then the TV came along, and I was in loads of things. The Bill, I was in three Bills, Rapsy Nesbitt, three of those. The Young Ones, I did a thing in. Gordon the Gopher.
that was the highlight of the career.
No,
I take
the
it.
Clash was the highlight. Supporting the Clash was the highlight. It still is a massive highlight, unforgettable. And but the TV thing, you know, the Red Dwarf thing and the Ruby Wax chat show. I did played a character in that, which we did two series of on Channel 4, where I played a floor manager that interrupted the guests. But now my feelings of TV now. And I had my own series. Oh, I love it, of course. You know,
I never saw that, and I'm quite disappointed. I didn't, because I would have probably liked that.
Yeah, you know, it's on my website. I've put. Is it the whole? You can watch the whole thing on my website for nothing.
That'd be good.
It's not very clear because it's taken from VHS, but you can click on an episode and watch. We were very proud of that, Ian Paterson and myself. Ian Paterson co-wrote with me, who wrote Rapsy Nesbitt. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I wrote the pilot on my own, and Ian, we wrote together on that. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who get emails about it. I still get emails now, but I can't afford to release it as a DVD, because the BBC want 10 grand for me to sort of, you just got to pay them that and they'll let you have the rights.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, I probably won't even get my money back, you know. I can't do that. So, but yeah, there's lots of people. It was all right. It was all right.
I shall go and check it out at normanlover.co.uk. You were happy with that. That's what counts.
Absolutely.
Is there ever anything you haven't been happy with, though, whilst we're on the subject?
Oh, the world itself. Yeah, I mean, everything, every day. Yeah, of course I do. I get cross and upset about loads of things. But, you know, you just know that's always been the way and always will be. You like to think there's going to be a perfect world one day, but there isn't. There isn't going to be a perfect world. And you have to accept that. You mustn't let it get you down. You've just got to say, oh, that's terrible. Can we do anything about that? And try it. Try in your own little way to do something, but you know it's just it's always going to be like that. So there's good things and bad things in the world.
And if it were a perfect world, I'm sure comedians would have a lot less to say.
There wouldn't be here, we wouldn't need them. You wouldn't need anyone to make you laugh, because you just think, what do I need someone to make me happy for? I'm happy already.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a very busy summer ahead of you. Well, hopefully it'll be sunny, because you work in May, June, and into just towards the end of June, isn't it, on this one?
We're doing the Edinburgh Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the whole of August, the Gilded Balloon. And Chris is still doing the squeeze. He's still doing some squeeze dates. So, but he's 10 years younger than me, so he's got the energy and he can still do it. Mm-hmm. He only stands there strumming his guitar and sings occasionally. You know, it's easy.
It's not as difficult as to think on your feet, is it?
The other people around him, people doing sounds for him, getting him in something to eat before the gig. You know, it's easy life, the pop stars.
I suppose he gets a better rider than you then, or do you insist on something when you get
to that? I just have the same thing. He had some Indian chicken on Friday, and I said, yeah, I'll have that chicken tikka thing. Because it's his latest thing now about curry being good for your health, isn't there? There was a thing, wasn't there last week about, I don't know, it's good for...
Was it in the Daily Mail or something?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It was on the radio. I don't get the Daily Mail, I must say that. not my type of paper.
But curries, if they're free, you'd be quite happy with?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't bad, actually. I hadn't had one for quite a while, so yeah, it went down quite well.
Well, the gig that we're most interested in is probably the one on the 25th of May, the Solihull Arts Complex. That's your closest one to us.
I've been there. I'm sure I've been there before. Or have I?
They'll tell you when you get there.
It's like Solihull is like near Wolverhampton, isn't it?
Road. Not too far away. Yes. Just down the road from Brom.
I'll be able to say Wolves are very good, aren't they?
Well, yeah. Could you behave? We're sat in Molly. It wasn't the greatest of seasons for us, but
I felt sorry for the guy, the manager at the end. What's his name?
Terry Connor.
Yeah, he's still staying with the club.
He is, yes.
Oh, that's good. He looks a lovely man. I just thought could tell all the players liked him. He commanded their respect, and I felt very sorry for him being left with that job at the end.
Yeah, that's it. He sort of carried it on to the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
Top bloke, Terry. He's a really nice guy.
Good. I hope you know, good things happen for him.
And before the one in Solihull, though, you've actually got It's All About the Tea in the Buxton Opera House.
It's All About the Tea, but the tea's been crossed out. No, it's me. It's All About Me and changed to Tea. But I'm sure what happened was that's his title of his song, of his show normally when he did a one-man show thing. And then as soon as I came along, he had to get rid of the me put the tea in. But well, I haven't discussed that with Chris, you know. And I think one of the reasons he's got me on is to make him look younger, because I'm not much older than him. You know, so, you know, I haven't worked it all out. By the end of the tour, I shall have it well sussed out.
Well, you've got it sorted by Edinburgh, I hope, and you can have words with him then.
Yeah. But no, he's a great guy, Chris. We've always gotten really well. He's a lovely bloke.
Now, where's the best place to find online the full list of all the gigs and the details for people to get along and buy tickets, etc.?
Well, Chris Difford's site or my own website, the list of the dates are on there.
So chrisdifford.com, D-I-F-F-O-R-D, or normanlovett.co.uk. L-O-V-E-T-T, the spelling on that one. How come you've got a .co.uk and not a .com? Had somebody stolen it to a tribute site?
Someone nicked it, so I got the... or did I want to stay just UK? I don't know. I just didn't want to go international at that time.
It can be a bit limiting, can't it?
Yeah. Oh, can I mention my DVD?
Of course you can.
It's not in the shop, so I've got to mention it where I can, otherwise I won't sell any. It's on gofasterstripe.com.
And you can pop along there, just search for you. And what's the DVD, stand-up or...?
Stand-up. It's called Outside the Box.
Pick it up there and enjoy Abbott and Norman.
Outside the Box. Stuart Lee and Richard Herring and all that lot have done DVDs with these people. And there's a nice bunch, stable of people there, Lucy Porter. And I did mine recently, and that's out. Flogged. Are you going to ask me why it's called Outside the Box?
I'll even pretend that you didn't just tell me to do that. There you go. No, so why is it called Outside the Box? No one will notice
well,
that, will
funny
they?
You should ask that.
Yeah.
It's funny you came up with that because that's interesting. It's very bright of you to sort of come up with that question. It's a really good, intelligent question. Don't you hate it when people patronise you if you say a good question?
Well, it happens occasionally.
It does, doesn't it? I don't like that at all. But anyway, Outside the Box, my daughter Lily, who's 22, she always says, you think outside the box when I do my comedy. And also, outside the box is being Holly and I'm not in the box, you know.
Yeah.
There were two sort of reasons for that. And I just liked Outside the Box as a title. It sounded like a nice title. And also, I love football, so... And mm-hmm. also, there'll be people in football who say, that was outside the box, ref, you know.
Mm.
Not a penalty.
No, definitely not. Not how much is it then? That's the other question I'm supposed to ask, isn't it? What's the cost of the DVD?
It's £12, including postage and stuff. You just order it at £12 and you get it. I mean, obviously, it will go in down in price in a year's time.
You're not supposed to say that. But everybody needs to go and get it now.
No, but because it's new, you know, it's at top price, I suppose. But I'm really pleased with it, you know. Yeah. I get a fiver. And they get a fiver for each copy sold, so it's not as if I'm, you know, going berserk here.
If you sell 100,000 now, that would come in quite handy.
Oh, yeah, it would be, but I'm not going to, am I?
I think it's classed as doing a Sarah Millican, isn't it, that one, in the industry at the moment?
I know, I'm a friend with her on Twitter. I've never met her personally, but she's very nice to me. She's very sent me a nice tweet recently. Perhaps I ought to ask her to put it on her tweet it for me.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yes, she can send it around.
She might sell some. I'll see. I'll have to work on that.
Have words. See what you can do. The tour sounds interesting from what we've heard, and I'm sure it'll be an amazing night, but entirely different whichever venue you go to.
Yeah, so, definitely. But I mean, I'm not just saying this. Friday was a great night. It really was. What's that noise?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I thought it was your end.
Hang on.
are you getting messages?
That's weird. What's that noise?
Have you got a BlackBerry?
Yeah, but there's nothing come up on it. I've got two dogs as well.
They shouldn't make that noise.
A pug called Elvis who's asleep in his basket. It wasn't him.
Definitely not.
And a Yorkshire Terrier. She's awake and alert. Yeah. How strange.
But it's never been known to ping in that way.
Oh, perhaps it's my... Oh, it's the tweets on my... I've got my computer on. And there's 14 new tweets come up, you know. This tweeting stuff, it hooks you, doesn't it?
But do you tweet a lot? Is that something you get up to?
I don't do a lot of tweets. No, I've done 500 and... I haven't been doing it for long. I've got 1,600... and followers, and I've done 566 tweets,
mm-hmm.
and I'm following 187 people.
Oh, if you get all your followers to buy your DVD, then that'll be
Yeah, I do put it up. It's about time I put it up again.
Yeah. Give them a reminder.
I don't know. There's a recession on as well, isn't there?
But what's it? You're Norman Lovett 1 on Twitter.
Yeah, don't ask me why I couldn't get Norman Lovett.
Somebody else has the same name.
You know, there's no ego involved.
Oh, you sure? Come on.
No, not at all. Because I couldn't get Norman Lovett, I think.
Well, the last ping was me following you. So at least I'll, you know, on those few occasions you do say something, I will be there.
All right, there there's the noise. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Hang on. I'll get this in a minute. Now, let me see. Keith Wolliscroft, Jason Forrest.
Oh, there you go.
Is that it?
Yeah, Jason.
I'm Jason Forrest.
Forrest, right. I don't want you to follow me then, so... Get rid of him.
I'm now blocked.
No, that's great, Jason. Thank you.
There we go. It's always good to add one to the total, but there we are. Right. Well,
no, that's the noise. It's on my mail. There's about eight come up for... Just in the last, as I'm talking to you, because I shouldn't have the computer on in front of me, should I?
We'll let you.
When I'm doing an interview, I should be staring at the Shadwell Basin.
Well, we could have sent you a photo of Zoe to really help with the ethos and the atmosphere of the interview.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a picture of you now, Jason.
Well,
so.
I'll send you one there if you like.
Right, I'm looking at the Shadwell Basin now and the HBC Bank in the distance. I'm in Wapping.
In Wapping?
Yeah. And just staring
at
it.
Oh, no, don't. You really are taking a picture of me.
Yeah.
There I we thought go. You was joking.
Oh, right. Well, that come up then.
Yeah, it should do.
You should
minute.
Get that in a moment or two's time.
She, how naughty.
She blinked at the wrong moment, but you know how it is.
Where will it come up then?
You get it as a tweet.
Oh, I see.
So what sort of stuff do you tweet? Because I've not read your timeline yet. I mean, is it anecdotes and whatever else, or just observations?
Yeah, I make a comment about things. I try not to be too horrible about the TV, but it is hard sometimes, isn't it? Really pleased that a dog won that Britain's Got Talent. I mean, it's so that summed it all up for me. That I just thought, great.
Refreshing change.
And those bloody, you know, Amanda Holden and that other girl there are just, oh.
who would you want to win if you could pick? Did you watch it at all?
I didn't watch it at all. No. I just was keen on the dog. I was just keen on the dog because I love dogs, you know, and then I caught their dog and I thought, my goodness, that was good.
Maybe next year an act with your two dogs and you reprising your roles, Holly, from might get you through and in front of the Queen. That's a possibility.
Now, there's another Red Dwarf in September. Dave do it now.
Oh, yeah, because was it three or four the other year?
Yeah, they did Back to Earth without an audience, but they've gone back to doing it in front of an audience, which was a good idea, because it needs an audience to do it. And I don't know, I'll be interested to see how it stood the test of time, how it looks. But I'm not involved with it now, no. I don't do anything with them now.
Hmm. So, you're not in the latest incarnation?
No. Have you sent me a thing?
Here? I have sent you a picture of Zoe and a picture out of our window today as well.
Oh, well, I'm not finding it.
You missed a treat there.
Technology escaping us.
I'm going to have to search. I'll get it later. You won't know my reaction.
You can tweet it at me and we'll tell everybody next week what you thought.
All right.
There we go. Norman, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Enjoy the tour. Literally up and down the country. Solihull and Buxton, the two closest to where we are in the Midlands.
Yeah, Buxton's great, isn't it? I remember I went to Buxton with Kitty, my youngest daughter, and we loved it.
Well, the venue you're playing there, I think, is where I saw
the opera.
ELO. Yeah, the Opera House. And Kelly Grucut from ELO invited me down for that one. An absolutely brilliant night. Shortly before, he actually passed away, sadly. But it was an absolutely fantastic venue, brilliant sound, and really shows off artists.
Yeah, because I played in a place opposite the Opera House. It wasn't there when I did my slideshow. And I looked at the place on the outside and I thought, God, I bet it's nice in there. I never did go in, but now I will.
It's going to be a treat for you.
And drink some water, special water.
Yeah, well, you can get it bottled. It's not the same when it comes in plastic from over the counter at the news agency.
No, I mean, Kitty got some water. She brought back some water with her. She was quite excited about that, but I didn't get so excited about it.
Give us a web address one more time so people can get along and get the dates for this tour.
Oh, yeah. I'm normanlovett.co.uk. It's on there under gigs. There's a list of them there.
And you can find out the other bits and pieces you'll be doing as well.
And there's Chris Difford. You can go on his website. He'll have it all there. You can perhaps click on. But I'll try and put it. I put them up on Twitter and Facebook as well, so people. Oh, it's doing that again. More people are coming in now. It's great. I can understand why people get fascinated by this Twitter. I wonder if it'll still be here in 100 years' time.
I'm sure there'll be a different version of it. They probably won't even have to download it onto your phone.
I'm going to say, you probably won't even have to have a computer, it'll all be in your head, and you just see it in the back of your eyelids. And you'll hear the sound, you'll have little speakers fitted in your ears, and you make phone calls with touching your teeth. That'll be a pad with your tongue. You get it?
Yeah,
it'll be fitted in. You'll just be your tongue will be doing all the work, and you'll just be walking along.
Just sort of clicking to yourself.
And there'll be a little microphone fitted in your nose under the skin there, and you'll be able to talk.
That's sounding quite unpleasant, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's not good. That.
And there'll be solar panels on your head to collect energy, to do your energy. No, we'll look completely different in 100 years' time. I'm sure we're all going to look the same, actually. Botox and everything, you know, it'll be different.
I know you've relied heavily on cosmetic surgery over the years, haven't you?
Yes, I have. You can see by my face that I've had tons done. Where would you start with a face like mine?
I'm not going to make any comment until I'm in trouble.
I've got good ears and I love my eyes. I think I've got lovely eyes and I've got good ears. But that then it goes downhill after that.
No, great to talk to you. You can talk for hours and I could listen, to be fair. But to the point at which I might go and buy the DVD just to add to it. And there's another blooming tweet.
Lovely.
Leave you to it. Cheers, mate.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our first track from Neil Coyne, who's providing our music today. This one is Solana's Interview. Coyne with Solana's Interview. And Jason and Zoe here, just about recovered from talking to Norman.
He was lovely, wasn't he?
That's one of the longest interviews I think we've ever done.
I know, but it went so quickly.
And it flew by, but there we are. Right, Neil, you're joining us on the phone now. And how are you, sir?
I'm very well.
Good stuff. Now, you are in which part of the world?
I am in Dublin.
Right, and it's not normal we'd go to a musician in Dublin, although we have spoken to a few people around the world before. But you are actually a Wolves supporter, which is how I found you on my Twitter feed. And your music we now share with the world as we sit overlooking the pitch at Molineux at the moment.
I know, it's a privilege to be interviewed from the home of the Wolves, I tell you that.
Well, that's all good. So tell us a bit about yourself. First of all, how old are you and how did you get into the music scene?
Well, I'm 23. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I'm 24.
It's easy to forget.
I can't even remember my age. 24. I started playing piano when I was a kid, and I hated it. I really hated it. Sitting down, practicing, it wasn't my thing. I gave it up at the age of 10 for a guitar, and ever since then it's just been guitar constantly. You know, I just love music. My dad used to play Neil Young records, Bruce Springsteen records, all that kind of stuff, so I used to nick them off him, and I nicked the record player when I was a kid, because they kind of went off music. They stopped listening to them when they got older, so I nicked the record player and all the records, and it just went from there. Then really got into bands. Started a band when I was about 13, played our first gig when I was 14, went to that for a couple of years, and we broke up. Then there's been bands ever since, and then recently enough, I just started being going on my own. But I always wrote songs on my own as well, you know. Recently it's just been myself, just singer, songwriter kind of stuff.
Is it handy being able to play the piano as well, though? Because I suppose you can do a bit of both now, can't you?
I'm not the handiest on the piano, to be honest with you.
No.
I only done it for about 2 years, and I couldn't stand it. But I can play bits and pieces, you know. I suppose it any little helps, you know. Play a bit of drums as well, a bit of bass.
So on the track we just heard from you, Solano's interview, it's one of your studio tunes. We have two studio tracks and two acoustic tracks to listen to today. I mean, when you're working on one of those, now that's a couple of years old, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you put things together? Do you like to play all the instruments on there then? So yeah, guitar and maybe put the drum beat on yourself?
Yeah, well actually on that track the drum beats are actually synthetic. They're not. There's no live drummer on that track.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did with that one was I wrote the song and it was just an acoustic song really. I went to the studio and my mate owns the studio and he produced the track with me, Kevin Broderick. And so I went in, we laid down that track and then just in layers then done the rest of the general back of vocals, a bit of guitar, a bit of bass. And then he done the the kind of the studio magic basically on the drums and the effects. And if you ever want an advertisement for a studio magic, you can hear the contrast of the two tunes. That one and the other ones you're going to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take Milk and Honey next. And that's got a really nice, rich sound to it. I've had a quick listen to it on preview before we started the show today. And how did you record that? Is it literally just at home in front of a microphone?
Yeah, that was just me kind of messing around. I had this idea for the song a while ago, and you can hear the kind of the difference in the way I sing it than the way I sing the other tracks. Well, especially with Solano's interview. Solano's interview is more singing. I find with Milk and Honey, it's a bit more spoken, kind of. And, that's just me in my sitting room, basically, here in my apartment. And I just have a condenser microphone there, my 8-track, and a desk, and just work with it from there, really.
And do you find you're more comfortable doing it like that, though?
Well, yeah, I hate studios, to be honest with you. I really don't like studios. At home, you know, you can throw it away if you want to. You can come back to it whenever you want. The studio, there's always the pressure with time. And there's always, you know, the money keeps adding up and you're always under a lot of pressure. And they're just so bloody boring, studios. You know, you go in there and you're sitting around for half the day. Mm-hmm. You do a few takes and then the rest is just watching an engineer on a desk and or on a computer. And it's just, yeah, they're not a place for me now, to be honest.
Mm. Do you prefer to, like, go from start to finish and do the song all in one go and say, right, that's it, that's the one that I want, rather than doing, like, a little bit and then perhaps redoing that little bit again or...?
It depends. If a lot of it's kind of, you know, if I'm not happy with a lot of it, I'll redo the whole thing. But if there's some bits, well, I suppose that is the beauty of being the shooter. You can cut and copy and paste and, you know. But yeah, it usually would depend, really, you know. I really don't like redoing things a lot of times, obviously, you know.
No.
That's probably a common thing, like, you know, repetition is a bit boring after a while, you know.
So do you think you're probably more of a live performer? That's the way you see yourself going more in the future?
Yeah, well, I love performing. I do get really nervous, though. Even after 10 years playing, you know, I still get incredibly nervous. Like, even if there's just 10 people in a room, you know, I would get nervous, like, but yeah, I do love it. I do. There's something really special about it. You know, when people appreciate the songs, what I always say, my philosophy is, anyway, I never got into it to make money or anything. It's because I like doing it, like, you know. Obviously, I don't make money off it, but if you connect to just a couple of people and, you know, they feel those lyrics and they say, geez, I know what that guy felt like when he wrote that song, or, do you know what I mean? That's what I'd like, and that's all I'd want out for people to take from my music.
Well, we'll listen carefully to Milk and Honey. Sit back and enjoy what you're doing with your guitar and your performance. And we've got, say, another couple of tunes to come as well. But before we let you go, what is your website so people can find out more and listen to more of your music and your Twitter feed as well?
Well, my Twitter name is @era_WolvesFC. That's Era as an EIRE _WolvesFC. And I have a MySpace page, which is myspace.com/NeilCoyneMusic. And I also just started up a Reverb Nation one, and that's just ReverbNation/NeilCoyne.
And Neil Coyne is spelled Coyne.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Neil, we're loving the music. We'll keep listening to it throughout the show. Thank you for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank Cheers. You. Bye-bye.
See you now. All the best.
Cheers. Bye.
Better sleep now. Don't help me, please. I sleep out in these city walls. I better sleep now. Better wash those jeans. Crawl through a bed of roses. Even though I cannot forgive her face. Being so hard to take. See you with that other guy. And I'm lying here. Wash your hair and look in. Spend all your money. Get a dig out when you need to bleed me dry and lay out in the summer and breathe in the life. Do you need some assistance for the mind of yours? Even though you're crossing borders just to get to the shore, and you can walk on water, and I'm licking my wounds. You're like a Jesus Christ, and I'm like a wooden spoon. And do you feel love? Do you feel love, baby? Do you feel love? Do you feel love? Do you feel love? Do you feel love? Baby,
Neil Coyne and Milk and Honey.
And more on the way. Another studio track up next. But before that, we go to the phone lines where we find Andy Rees, who's currently putting together a charity football match. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Now, Birmingham's Children's Hospital has been in the headlines following the tragic fire over in the East Midlands, because they've been working with the families of those who were injured. But they also have in their care Toby Craddock, son of Jodie Craddock. Now, he's recently come back out of hospital, but he was diagnosed with leukaemia earlier on this year. And it's touched the hearts of many Wolves supporters. And Andy, you're working with a group to put together a charity fundraiser to show how much Wolves supporters care and appreciate the fact that Birmingham Children's Hospital are doing the work that they're doing.
That's correct, yeah. What I will say is now, it's not just Wolves supporters. It's a mixture of Midlands fans. It's much wider than that now. There's West Bromwich Albion fans, Walsall fans, Birmingham City fans. There's quite a lot of people interested.
And a lot of people coming along to play a game of football, and all in aid of what we say is a very good cause. So where's it taking place?
It's going to be at Goal Soccer Centre at Willinor. We are still looking for a few more players, which would be £15 to play.
So basically they pay to play, and you're looking for, I think, just over 30 players, isn't it, to make sure you've got substitutions and everything?
That's correct, yes. But it is going to be Rile on Rile Off subs.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, spectators will be able to come down as well and cheer on the teams, maybe if they've got somebody playing. And there's a cost of entry on that of, what, £3?
It's £3, yeah, but we're trying to find out if we can get some kind of raffle system where the cost of the entry will include a raffle ticket, so they can win a prize for the entry as well.
Now, this is all very much in the early stages at the moment, and as you say, you are getting the teams together, but you're using the magic of Facebook to try and get everyone interested and sign people up, aren't you?
We are. I mean, Facebook's a brilliant free tool to use. The name of the Facebook group is Get More Soon Toby Craddock. Anybody's free to join, but we have also got a Just Giving website available now if people want to donate.
So if they don't want to take part in the football match, then they can still donate?
That's correct, yeah.
And what's the web address for that one?
It's www.justgiving.com/getwellsoontargetcarrick.
So all you need to do, go on there, log on, and you can donate directly or find that Facebook page if you fancy a game of football. Now, who is the football open to? Pretty much anyone, any age, either gender?
Any age, any gender, you name it. As long as you're able, you can come and play.
That would be interesting, won't it, if you get a few female players?
Well, it will do, yeah.
If we can get some of the Wolves women team down there, that'd be good fun too, because they've had a great season this season. So it'd be
some of the women are better than men now.
Oh, defo.
It's likely to take place probably around July time, isn't it?
It is. We're looking at the end of the June, beginning of the July. Once we've got enough numbers, we'll be able to confirm the date.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need many more players?
We're talking about 6 or 7 players before I can name a date.
Right, not many.
It filled up over the weekend.
Fingers crossed we can get a full compliment very quickly. And once you have got all the details, please do join us again in the week or so beforehand so we can make sure people are coming along. But if people do also want to make donations for prizes for the raffle that you're talking about, is there another way of getting in touch, or is it just directly through the website?
It's through the website at the moment. We are looking for a sponsor for a set of T-shirts for the players to wear.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody be kind enough to donate some money for that, and obviously you get the advertising space on the shirt, that would be brilliant, and it is for a good cause as well.
Yep, and that will, of course, be separate to the funds which are being raised for the Children's Hospital, so they get absolutely the maximum amount of money possible.
That's correct, yeah.
Andy, thanks for joining us, and thanks for what you're doing. I'm sure it will be very well supported.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
So half an hour.
Thanks.
Right, let's take our third tune from Neil Coyne. This time, Everybody's Fool.
Things that I've never been told.
Neil Coyne and Everybody's Fool. And now we go to the phones. It's a purely coincidental that we play that song at this point, as we're joined by Martin Richards. Hello, sir.
You're right there.
I'm okay. Now, I haven't told Zoe what it is you're doing for charity, but you're doing something quite
significant. Probably.
Not rude, quite significant for charity, aren't you?
Yes, I am, yes.
So it's for the Balls to Cancer charity. Now, of course, they do have their run on Father's Day up and down the country and here in Wolverhampton, where it all started. Tell us what you're doing for Balls to Cancer.
Basically, I'm trying to raise £300. Once I've raised that £300, I'm getting the logo to do my bum.
Zoe's suddenly interested now.
I do like a good bottom.
Right. Well, okay, there's the question then. Do you consider that you have a good enough bottom to carry this off?
Well, I believe so, yeah.
And the wife appreciates your backside, does she?
Now and again.
It won't need shaving, will it?
No, it won't, no.
Oh,
So I'd never have thought to ask that one. I'm quite glad that we have you here for these moments. And what size are you going for on the logo?
We're not too sure yet. The tattooist has got it all. Got the logo anyway. He's going to work out a plan of how big to have it.
So you don't want it covering it all, do you? That could be
quite
painful.
No, it's not going to be too big. I think he was looking at sort of like 1.5 by 1.5, maybe a bit bigger. Just depends on what he thinks suitable.
And have you decided which cheek it's going on yet?
It's going on my left.
Does this mean that advertising space is available on the right for future times?
Yeah.
And we probably ought to know, are you prone to exposing your backside?
Not normally, but I will have to now, I think.
Yeah.
Give everybody a look.
Well, there could be some special underwear and trousers involved with a little window to display the logo. Is that something that you've looked into so far?
I think it might best to, just show it off.
Who thought up this crazy idea?
Well, it was something that has been discussed. Somebody else is doing the same sort of thing.
Right, I was going to say, how does he end up being discussed that he said, well, yeah, I know what I'll do.
I'll have it tattooed on my bottom.
Well, I don't mind tattoos, I have got quite a few. And obviously, Mark himself, the guy who runs it, obviously mentioned that we're into tattoos and stuff, and he sort of was like, put the idea in my head. And then
Mark was thinking about your bottom at the time.
I'm not too sure about my bottom. Tattoo, definitely, but right. I don't think the bottom at the start of it. But it has ended up, got quite a few sponsors so far, and a few of them have said it needs to be on my bum for me to get the sponsorship from them, so...
Mm. I think you ought to aim for more than £300 if you're getting a tattoo done.
Well, I've put it as a minimum figure, like I said, so anything between 300 plus would be a bonus, but obviously 300 is the minimum figure I'm going to get done.
Is the person who's tattooing it, are they doing it free because it's charity?
Yeah, they're doing it for free, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
He's also going to contact the paper and see if they want to do an article on it as well.
See, so, you're showing your bottom in the paper then?
It could be in the paper, yeah.
Let's hope there's no before and after shots. That's. And is it actually going to be painful? I've never had a tattoo. You've obviously got several, so you know what you're letting yourself in for. But is that not quite a tender area?
Well, it is a tender area, but it shouldn't be too bad. I've had worse places tattooed.
I think because it's fatty. Oh, sorry, Jason.
I'm not going to ask. You can if you want to. I don't want to know.
What is the most painful part of your body you've had tattooed?
My kneecap.
Oh.
Phew.
It's just the most excruciating pain, so it's not going to be anywhere near that.
I think if it's near the bone, it hurts more, doesn't it? Like, say, if it's at your base of your spine or your ankle or something like that, it hurts more.
But I've had the top end of my thigh done, and that didn't hurt too much, so...
No.
Dare we ask what you've got written there?
I've got koi carps.
Right.
It's a Japanese theme.
On your inner thigh?
Yeah, and going straight down to my ankle.
All the way down? Just one fish or a few of them?
I've got five on there altogether. There's a few waves and flurries and all sorts of stuff.
Gosh. I must admit, I do fancy having one, but it's just the thought of
how
painful
that
it would be. No, I know, but I think I wouldn't like the pain.
Do you have a tattooist who does all of your work then, pretty much a human canvas?
I did previously, but the person who's doing this one is a different tattooist, one recommended by a few people who work with the charity I'm helping out.
Yeah.
So I decided to contact them and see what they wanted to do.
What percentage of your body is already covered with tattoos? I take it there's nothing else. It is actually a completely untouched area, for a better choice of words, that you're working with this time round.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I say, I got my right leg from top to bottom done, a tribal on my back. A couple of pieces on my arms. Apart from that, there's nothing.
And what does your wife reckon to all of this?
She's caught up to it, actually. She's been chipping away, to be fair, to get it done. But yeah, she doesn't mind. She's caught up for it, to be honest.
Mm. And as long as she doesn't slap your hot your bottom too hard after you've had it done.
Yeah, I think I'll have to stay away for a week.
And is she a tattooed lady as well, or is she not gone in for the same sort of level of art?
Yeah, she's got a couple. She's got a couple of angels on her back, fairies rather, and a couple of little bits on her wrist. But apart from that, nothing major.
No, I think more and more people are having tattoos all the time, aren't they? Almost everybody who I know has got at least one.
As long as you don't display all of yours, the entire school of fish would be probably a bad move in polite company. But your backside may be out more often than you know it. So give us the details of how people can donate to make sure you do get this tattooed on your backside.
I've got a Just Giving page. But other than that, it's just basically they can email me on Facebook or Twitter and donate that way. And I can give them the link if they want to do it that way, whichever is easiest for them, really.
Well, on Twitter, you are at Wolves87. So yep. We're guessing it's a reasonably young backside that's being tattooed here.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Ooh.
So Zoe's even more interested now.
I have to watch out for that in the paper.
Behave. She'll be asking to autograph the other cheek the way you're going, to be fair. And how can they find you on Facebook?
It's just Martin Richards on Facebook, Martin with a Y.
And is there a link from the ballstocancer.com website as well?
It's www.ballstocancer.com. And my Just Giving page is obviously justgiving.com /Martin-Richards2012.
How's the total looking so far?
I'm on £101 so far.
That's not bad going. That's a good third of the minimum. And it could well go well over that, and particularly when people see the finished results.
Yeah.
How much longer have you got left before you need to get your 300? Have you got a few weeks or...?
Well, there's no set time limit. It's just once I get as close to 300 as possible, I'll get it done.
But I suppose, are you doing the run on Father's Day?
I am, yes.
Which means you don't really want to have a sore backside immediately as you're doing a run.
Yeah, so I'll probably get it done afterwards, to be honest.
Okay, so again, there could be chafing, so be careful whatever you do. Martin, good luck with it. Absolutely fabulous idea for charity, you're mad.
We'll watch out for you.
And Zoe's going to lech. And we look forward to hearing of your success in the very near future.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, ta-ra for now.
Thank you.
Bye. Right, let's take a final tune from Neil Coyne now. Almost appropriately again, this one's called Feel at Last.
I'm tired, oh so tired, feeling this way, and I'm broke, oh so broken, man, that I can't let you go. I want to pass by in the street and stammer to the tune of a honky-tonk jackhammer. She silently lays it off me, two fingers to the world and then a homework for me. Ought to see no way. Make your way to the altar, make your way onto the past. Give yourself up to your God, the one who makes you feel at last. Everlasting comfort is what you seek, then seek no further. Look at me, I am the only man for you, as you are only girl for me. Tragedy strikes when you least expect that. I hope a tragedy hits you soon, so you'll get rejected. Just like me, just like my heart, the rivers run dry, the tears they flood the plains like summer high tide. Won't you come on down? Down to the river, come on down, wash your know you are mine. I'm gonna throw out this cliche, I think of you all the time. And even though you're not here, your memory's still close. Packed it away with your old shoes and your old clothes. Maybe I should throw them out. Maybe I stop giving out. Maybe I should move on. But baby girl, I just don't want to. The shatter, shatter, na 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 na. Shatter, na 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 na. Shatter, na 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 na. La-la-la, in your heart you'll be the last. Eleanor, moon beauty, strike me from within. Maybe you're on different ways. Maybe you're living in perpetual sin. Lay me down, lay me down, down, lay me down. Sound like this. It's a guitar sound. It sounds like it's plugged in. My voice, my voice is alright, isn't it?
There we go. Our final tune from Neil Coyne. That one is "Feel at Last." You've enjoyed those, haven't you?
They've been very good, Jason.
And did you like his Irish accent as well?
Lovely.
Yeah, I can see you getting a bit carried away, but there we are.
I do like an Irish accent.
You have to follow me on Twitter and everything, okay? Right, we'll be back next week for episode 153. We shall see you then.
Oh, bye-bye.
Ta-ra.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.